This morning, our journey through Genesis continues. Our origin stories continue. How we become who we are, wrapped into these stories. These stories are our stories. You and I, we are at once the willing Abrahams and Sarais who go anywhere that God will send us. We are at once the self-righteous Joseph and the remarkably annoyed brothers who will sell off the brother at any chance we have. These are our stories. And we continue today to tell those stories. As we tell those stories, I have to ask you this morning, did you know that there was tennis in the Bible? Did you know there was tennis in the Bible? This one's a little bit of a groaner, I apologize. Joseph, he served in Pharaoh's court. My neurologist told me that one this week. He asked me to tell that this week, so y'all can tell him I did. Flash forward to Jacob and Esau, who we left last week burying their father and hopefully some of the distrust that they had. Flash forward to Jacob's youngest son. You know, the best son, Joseph. Usually we talk about the oldest son. Not this time. The youngest and the best son, Joseph, the son who gets his very own musical in popular culture. None of the other sons get a musical. Do you remember the musical with Donny Osmond, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat? Creative license, it really is. But retelling Genesis 37 through 50, complete with the intrigue. There's the selling off to the Ishmaelites. There's regret. There's a little bit of sexual tension that goes on. There's adventure. There's some begging. The full story of Joseph that unfolds before your eyes on a Broadway or probably off-Broadway stage. But today, we focus past all of that, past Joseph being sold by the brothers, past the boss's wife trying to seduce him. We move past the time in prison where he used his skills to rise with integrity, past where he has those gifts that God has given him in interpreting dreams and living a life with integrity. Joseph had found himself in prison, falsely accused. You remember a little bit of this story. He has no recourse, only time on his hands. Now, he could have responded with anger. He could have responded with revenge. Instead, he embraces the opportunity before him. So when the cupbearer and baker of the Pharaoh come to him with their dreams, he listens. And he shares these interpretations earnestly. With integrity, he shares them hard answers, not sugar-coated like they might want to hear, not glorifying the easy ones. With integrity, Joseph can be satisfied that he gave interpretation exactly as God intended. So when the baker and the cupbearer shared their dreams with Joseph, he interpreted them fully and honestly. He approached the challenge with openness, Now, we don't know exactly why they were imprisoned. If you read back over the scripture, it says that Pharaoh was angry. We don't know what Pharaoh was angry about, per se. We can imagine there wasn't an appeals court, that they couldn't exactly go back and say it was unjust that they were in prison, merely that they had to wait until Pharaoh wasn't angry anymore to get out of court. The cupbearer and the baker were concerned about what came next. Now, at this point, it's good for us to remember that God tends to move in dreams. God speaks in dreams. You might recall this from Abraham and Job, from Jacob and Moses, from Gideon and Samuel, from Daniel and the Magi, from Paul and Ananias, from Joseph, as in the husband of Mary, from Pilate's wife, to name a few. Add in Pharaoh, Joseph, the cupbearer, and the baker. God also always seems to supply the interpreter of the dreams as well. So here is Joseph's skills for such a time as this. With each dream, Joseph is not just a freelancer reading the tea leaves on his own, giving the answers he thinks someone wants to hear about their dreams. Joseph points to God. I know, not those kind of dreams. When Pharaoh asks for interpretation, Joseph knows that he is the vessel and God is working through him. Joseph directs Pharaoh and listens to God because the interpretation ultimately has come from God. Joseph, who was a dreamer as a young boy, understands the importance of this kind of dream. It was Joseph who dreamed the stars would bow down before him, that the sheaves of wheat would bow down. It was the dreams that gave him a sense of this rise of power. It was the dreams that annoyed his brothers in the beginning. God, who spoke to him in dreams, in the same way that God spoke to the cupbearer and the baker and the Pharaoh, remembering that dreams don't always make everyone happy when they hear the interpretation. In fact, it's good for us to remember that sometimes dreams walk alongside pain and resentment. Sometimes we experience anger and disappointment, loss and betrayal, and we can get hardened. We can quickly become those who would rather name enemies than redeem as friends. This is why we pair Genesis along what Dave accurately noted a difficult reading from Luke. It's the compounding of resentment and anger that leads us to places where it's easier to give in than to proclaim a life like Luke's gospel or what Joseph was living out in his life. You and I would never know Joseph's story if he had chosen the path of least resistance. What makes Joseph a patriarch of faith is not perfection, it's integrity. A rising star is often what we think of as someone who will do anything to meet the end. Joseph reminds us by continuing to point to God that the integrity, the way we do it, matters even more than what it is that we are doing. Living a life of faith is specific and it's repetitive. It's choosing again and again with integrity instead of giving in to the ways that are easier. It's doing good to those who speak ill of us, to the boss who irritates you, to the employee who pushes your buttons, to the neighbor who drives you absolutely crazy, to the spouse you're not sure how you can take it anymore. Do good. Choose good. This is radical and counterintuitive. To be compassionate to those who take advantage of you and to not stop offering generosity because someone takes advantage of you. Your integrity is more important than their response. Joseph was afforded the opportunity to speak hope into the future of Egypt. His integrity and skills, his commitment to leading a life of faith, paid off, and he was ultimately part of God's plan to save the people of Egypt from starvation, to be reunited with his family, and for God's way to be known in a whole new place. Those are incredible rewards for living with integrity, living godly in the world. So for you and I, what does it mean for us? What does it mean for us in the moments of every day of frustration when we're worried and when we're watching people live in ways that irritate and frustrate us? How do we live with integrity? What are we being called to do, those of us who dream? We do what Joseph, the rising star, did. First, we call on God. Each and every time, ask God to direct you. Let God's words and God's ways be yours. Second, hang on to integrity with a tight grip. Be godly and upstanding. Do not let your anger and exhaustion, your frustration and your confusion, the situation and the circumstance, wear you beyond God's ways. And lastly, speak boldly of God's ways. Joseph told Pharaoh not just about the times of plenty, but about the times of famine as well. He spoke truth and honesty in bold ways. Boldness was ultimately the balm needed in that place. You and I, we need boldness in order to remain godly. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.